Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. If we'd open our Bibles this evening to Genesis chapter 1. And did we put down Helena for a prayer request?
I just mentioned all of them. I didn't call them specifically, but I just said the ones that were on Sunday.
All right, yeah, she's got laryngitis and not feeling good, very good. We'll keep her in prayer tonight as well. Genesis chapter 1, reading from verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word, O God, knowing that you are the author and finisher of our faith, and you are the author and finisher of your word. And so, Father, we just pray that our lives might be commensurate with the word which you've given to us in this hour. Help us just to let go and to let you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now this evening we're going to look at the season of the resurrection. Since this Friday is the 20th of March, 2015, it's also the 29th day of Adar in the Jewish calendar. It is also the day that a complete solar eclipse is forecasted upon the earth. Even though it is called a total solar eclipse, it will only be in certain parts of the earth. But it will be a partial in other places. But it is called a total if it happens anywhere on the earth. And even though a total solar eclipse is a noteworthy event, March 20th will be extra special because it is also the March equinox. On that date, there will be a total solar eclipse that will coincide with the northern hemisphere's spring equinox and the southern hemisphere's autumn or fall equinox. And this has not happened since 1662. And it will not happen again until March 20th of 2034. If it goes 3 hours like some are predicting, then it will mean definitely, it'll mean something very special. I don't think it will go the 3 hours, but who knows? God knows. Now, total eclipse of the sun happened when a new moon comes between the sun and the earth, covering the entire sun. On March 20th, 12 hours before the eclipse begins, the moon will be at its point closest to the earth on its orbit around it. This makes the moon of March 20, 2015, what's called a super new moon. 2 weeks after March 20th, on 2015, on April 4th, a lunar eclipse will take place. This eclipse is the third in a series of four lunar eclipses from the four blood moon tetrads, all falling on Jewish high holy days. It will be visible from parts of North America, South America, Asia, and Australia. Now, I don't know the significance. However, the next day is day one of the Jewish calendar. So the 20th is Friday, then on the 1st is day one of the Jewish calendar. It is called Nisan. God commanded Moses in the book of Exodus to make a new calendar. We're going to read from the book of Exodus, and always remember, in any Exodus, there is always a coming out and going in. Never forget that. And this book of Exodus is very important for us to know because there are many things that were done and commanded by God to be done that represent the time of the resurrection and the rapture of the church. That is why we'll pick up at verse tonight at chapter 12. And by the study of the book of Exodus, we should get a good view into the time and seasons of the resurrection. Exodus chapter 12, beginning of verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the house will be too little for a lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls, Every man according to his eating shall make your account for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. So in other words, on the 10th day, you're going to take this lamb aside, and then you're going to keep him up and not let him sleep for 4 days. Now, what? Just to digest what we've said so far. Number one, God was telling Moses that this month, you're going to, basically under Egypt, they were under a solar calendar. You Jews are going under a lunar calendar. This month will be unto the beginning of months. Now that was the month of Nisan. It begins, Nisan 1 will actually be the 21st of March, which will be Saturday. It's interesting to know that according to the Jews, the rabbis, they say that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were all born in the month of Nisan. Well, so was Jesus and so was William Branham. I just think that's interesting. I haven't got enough research to find out if Moses had been born at that time as well. But it's just interesting to see how this is the month of lambing, and these were born all in that month. Now, so to digest what we've been reading, God is telling Moses that on the 10th day of the first month of the new calendar, the children of Israel are to set aside a lamb for a house, and they are not to allow it to fall asleep for 4 days. And then at the evening time on the 14th day of the month, they are to slay it and eat it and leave nothing until the morning. And whatever they do not eat, they must burn before the morning. Now the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Notice that the significance here is it's 14 days later, which is 2/7, and then they will kill it at the evening time. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts, that's here and here, and on the upper post, which is here. Notice that it's a sign of a cross. You know, you have here and here, showing how the Lamb of God would die. Wherein they shall eat it, and they shall eat the flesh in that night. Now notice this is not a morning or noontime event. It is to be done in the evening time, with the eating to commence when it turns dark. Now that's exactly the way Brother Bram set up the communion to be taken when it was dark. Also Brother Vail did the same thing. We have followed in accordance with that tradition in this church since our inception 33 years ago. He said, roast it with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roasted with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn it with fire. Again, this is why we have the deacons who make sure that if there's any bread or wine left over, then, you know, well, for you that don't know, I've asked them to always count the heads, make sure that we're as close as possible to the amount, because what's ever left over is to be burnt before morning, and just exactly according to the scripture. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Now we could take you over to 2 Peter, where he talks about that at the hour of the revelation of Jesus Christ, he said, you must gird up the loins of your mind. So this is a kind of an expression. If you're getting ready to run a race, you know, it's time to gird up. Now, this is the first where God actually gives us a definitive name for the event. He says, and thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste, because it is the Lord's Passover. So the Lord is giving us a definition here. It is the Lord's Passover, which the Lord begins the next verse to describe what is to take place on this event. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, the night of the Passover feast, the night of communion, so to speak, the 14th day of Nisan. And I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. So notice then that the Passover speaks of the time of God's judgment upon the unbelieving world. And the blood shall be for you a token upon the house where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plagues shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now this is the first place where we see that not only is this ceremony a time when men were to reflect upon the judgments of God in the earth, but it was a promise from God himself that if he saw evidence of the Passover lamb slain and consumed by each house, that it would mean deliverance from those judgments for those houses where the token was applied. That's why Brother Branham was so strong on applying the token. He said the token in that day was, of course, the blood of a lamb. He said the token today is the Holy Ghost. Apply the Holy Ghost for your house. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Now, the word memorial means something that is created or done to honor a person who has died or to remind people of an event in which many people have died. So memorial speaks of a reminder of death. And notice it is to be kept throughout all generations. That means even to this day. Verse 15. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Now these 7 days represent the seven church ages. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. Now notice even the first day, and the Apostle Paul made it quite clear that to add to what he taught or take away, you would be cursed. So from the first age until the seventh, to add to or take away from the pure word will bring the curse. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. Now leaven represents doctrine of man that is added to the pure word. Jesus tells us in Matthew 16, he says, then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason you amongst yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not understand yet, neither remember the 5 loaves or the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, neither the 7 loaves or the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. So you see that the unleavened bread was synonymous of nothing added to the sacrifice, nothing added to the bread. Now, in other words, no doctrine of man. Now back to Exodus 12 and 16. And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation. In the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. So notice in the first day there's a holy convocation. In the seventh day, a holy convocation. First age, a holy convocation. Last age, a holy convocation. Now, I want you to notice that in the first and seventh age, there is to be a holy convocation or a holy gathering. And during the time of this gathering, there is to be no work done. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done to you. So during the time of this convocation, there will be no activity but eating. Now the word convocation means a gathering, and this will be a holy gathering. From the future home, Brother Bram said, you don't come by laws and rituals and orders, you come by predestination. Amen. There's the genuine holy convocation, see? And we're ending the seventh church age, the Pentecostal age, do you see it? We're entering the holy convocation. We are entering into that real, genuine eternity where the church is called, not to some station, some denomination, but into eternity with their eternal king, see? We don't have it all at all. There's no such thing as days and things and times. You've passed into eternity where you come from. You was there to begin with. Now, I'd just like to stop here for just a moment and review what we're looking at. He said in the first and the seventh there would be a holy convocation. We've already established that this means there'd be a holy gathering. Jesus spoke of such a gathering in Matthew 18 and 20. He said, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. In other words, his presence would be there at the gathering. And we see the saints had gathered together to receive the Holy Ghost in Acts 2 and 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And as we sing the song, they were gathered in the upper room all praying in his name. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost and power for service came. So they were gathered. There was a holy convocation. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as the rushing mighty wind and filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, I want to show you how that there has already been one holy convocation on the day of Pentecost, where they were gathered in the upper room, and this led to the climax of the Old Testament saints gathering together in the first age as well. We find in Matthew 27, verse 45, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there, when they had heard that, they said, "This man calleth for Elijah." And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks did rent. And the graves were opened. Now notice, there's a semicolon there. And many, the Greek word is polis, means many or much or a great deal of bodies of the saints which slept arose, comma, and came out of the grave after his resurrection. So something happened with that shout on, you know, when he cried with a loud voice, it quickened the bodies of the saints which were in the grave. It quickened them, but they didn't come out of the grave until after his resurrection, because he was the first fruits. And then notice it says, and they went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Again, it means a great deal of people saw them. Now, these are things that we don't often think too much about, because this happened before the day of Pentecost, before the consummate holy convocation where they received the Holy Ghost. These people were appearing, and many people were witnesses. Paul tells us in the book of Corinthians that there was over 500 witnesses that Jesus had raised from the dead. 500 people just in Jerusalem. Oh, what a time that must have been. Many Old Testament saints came out of the grave and appeared also to many. Now, Paul tells us that there were as many as 500 witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus, and that's no small witness. Ephesians 4 and 8, we read, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men." Now, from the rapture, Brother Ram said, David said over there, "Lift up ye everlasting gates and be lifted up. He led captivity captive and give gifts unto men." When the Old Testament saints went in with him, they said, "Who is the King of righteousness, the Lord of glory, mighty host. Here they come in marching. Jesus led captivity captive, and here he comes with the Old Testament saints and went into the new gates up there and said, "Lift up ye everlasting gates and be you lifted up, and let the King of glory come in." The voice comes from the inside, said, "Who is the King of glory? The Lord mighty in battle." The gates flew open, and Jesus the conqueror led captivity captive, them that had believed on him, and the word had come to them. There the Old Testament saints, laying in there waiting, he led captivity captive, ascended on high, took the Old Testament saints, and went in. There's one rapture already passed. The next one rapture takes place is in 2 Thessalonians, for the church, the bride, to be resurrected, to be raptured into glory. We which are alive remain, that's the body that's left on earth, will not prevent or hinder them which are asleep, for the trumpet of God shall sound first, and the dead in Christ shall rise, see, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. So notice, at the time that Jesus raised from the dead, he was the first fruit, and then out of the grave came all the Old Testament saints. and we're told that many, which means a great number of people, were witnesses to a great number of resurrected saints. From the entombment, Brother Ram said, Caiaphas stood there saying, "You know what? There was something happened the other day. Just look at this mess this temple's in. We're going to have to get someone to sew that curtain up. Look at those sacrifice boxes turned over. What happened? Was that guy an astrologer? Was he a witch? Or what happened? Say, come here, Josephus. Who is that young couple standing there?" And Abraham said to Sarah, "We're recognized. We better get out." Appeared to many. See, that wasn't all of it. In closing, now watch. One day, when after they'd visit, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all of them had visited their homeland, when Jesus ascended up, you say, "Well, Brother Branham, is that mythical?" No, sir. I'll show you in the scriptures in a minute. When he began to go up, they only seen him, but the Old Testament saints went with him. For the Bible said that he led captivity captive and give gifts unto men. And I can see him as he goes up and he joins with his church. And from How Can I Overcome, Brother Brown said, "If we suffer with Christ in his word, we will reign with him. For he is the word." Now remember, if we suffer for him and his word, we'll reign with him in his word. And notice, he is our example. He overcome and then ascended up after he conquered death, hell, sickness, grave, everything he conquered. Then he ascended up and led captivity captive. He gave gifts unto men. That was with the Old Testament saints that had overcome. Now, it's very plain in the scripture, in the book of Matthew, it tells us. So let's go over to 1 Corinthians 15, because this basically is the chapter that deals primarily with the resurrection and the change of the body. In 1 Corinthians 15, we read, the Apostle Paul also tells us of this event that occurred at the conclusion of the Alpha ministry of Jesus Christ. Now, the first 22 verses deal specifically with the first resurrection and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 23 through the end of the chapter deals with the second half of the first resurrection, which is scheduled for this hour sometime. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians 15:1. Moreover, brethren, I declared unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain, for I received unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and after that he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection from the dead? But if there be no resurrection from the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. You are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. And if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now we're going to skip the rest of it for now, because that pertains to the second half of the resurrection, which is set forth for this the seventh day, the next holy convocation, which I believe that we're in the season of it at any moment now. I would like to pick up our reading then from Brother Bram's sermon, What the Holy Ghost Was Given For, and we're going to begin reading from paragraph 82 through 83 tonight for our thoughts. One more scripture, if you want to write it down, is John 12:24. Let me quote it to you right quick. Jesus said, if a corn of wheat falls into the ground, except it die, it cannot bring forth another life. Now look, one closing remark now. And remember then, it is absolutely now to you people, it's absolutely essential and necessary and compelling and compulsory that you receive the Holy Ghost now. For if you don't, you can't come in the resurrection. Now watch, God cannot break his laws. We know that. He follows his laws. Now a grain of wheat or a corn will take, like Jesus said there, of course, a corn in the Bible, I was just reading it today, refers to flax or any kind of seed, wheat or barley, maize or anything, it's corn. But when a corn of wheat falls into the ground, now there's, and all of us here have seen and knows this happens. A corn of wheat or a grain or corn can look as perfect as it can be, and you can put it into the ground, and if that corn, it has perpetual life, it'll go down today, it'll reproduce itself in the stalk, come back down, and go up again, and come back down again, it's perpetual life. If that corn hasn't got the germ of life in it, no matter how beautiful it looks, it'll never raise. It'll go to the ground and rot, and that's it. Part of it, the material, can be used for fertilizer and things in the ground, but as far as it ever living again, it'll never live unless it's got perpetual life in it. Anyone knows that? You just can't. Now, all right. So what I want to do is I want to focus on these two scriptures before we close. Brother Bram's quoting from John 12:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it'll bring forth much fruit. Now, how could Jesus have been the firstborn in a vast family of brethren had he not gone to the ground. Because like the corn, he had to go to the ground in order for us to receive that same spirit that was in him. Now the Apostle Paul said in Romans 8 and 11, but if the spirit of him, that's God, that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. And I hope you can see from our reading tonight where Brother Branham makes it very apparent that without having the same spirit that was in Jesus, you will never partake of this next holy convocation. Paragraph 83. There can be two men, both of them just alike. One of them can be a good man. He could do good works. He could do so forth. But except that man has eternal life in him, he'll never rise in the resurrection. He can't do it. There's nothing there to raise. There's nothing to bring him up. There's no life. So you see, my dear brother, my dear sister, except a man be born again, he can in no wise come back into this kingdom. He can't. Except this corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies. He's talking of himself. But he had not perpetual life. He had eternal life. And the life he gave to you, that you might have the same kind of life. Now, if you've just got human life enough to move you around in lust, she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth, you can't rise. You might be the most popular girl in school. You might be the most popular girl at the card game of your society. You might be the best-dressed woman in the country. You might be the prettiest. You might have the best build. You might be an idol to your husband. You might be all of these things, which that's wonderful. But sister, unless you have the Holy Ghost in you, which is eternal life, at the end of this road, you are finished. And I don't care what you look like or how these things are or how unpopular or popular you are, how pretty or how ugly. If you've got eternal life, you'll live forever and ever. Therefore, this evening, we're examining this scene as Brother Branham speaks here of what the Holy Ghost was given for. And he tells us that if we are not born again and filled with the Spirit of God, you will miss this event called the resurrection. And as I've already pointed out this evening, it is a holy convocation or gathering for the resurrection that we're looking at here. We know the first half of this event has already taken place back when Jesus arose from the dead. We saw this also in Matthew 27. But now we have a promise of another holy convocation, another holy gathering, and that I wouldn't want to miss for the world. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, for you sorrow not, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so also them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him or himself. So you see, it is God that is coming at this time with a shout, and he has already come. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming, that word is parousia, presence, of the Lord. Which Lord? The one true Lord. And Paul is talking about the presence of that one Lord, the one Lord God himself. That we which are alive and remain unto the parousia, the presence of the Lord, shall not prevent or come before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, that's the message, with the voice of the archangel, that's the resurrection, and with the trump of God, that's the catching away. And then the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then after that, we which are alive and remain or have survived shall be caught up together with them. Together with who? The living, with those who have already passed away and have rose from the dead. And we shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now, as we read of the first holy convocation where the entire Old Testament saints were raised from the dead, and we're seen by many witnesses in the Alpha Resurrection, we now will focus on the Omega Resurrection and the Omega Holy Convocation. So then there has to be scripture speaking of such a holy convocation or a holy gathering in the seventh age as well. But I'm going to leave that for Sunday. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this little introduction to showing that there's two holy convocations, as we read in the book of Exodus. They all have to take place, Lord, and they're all pertaining. And we see that the Exodus itself, we see that the month of Nisan was established by you for a time of redemption for Israel, a time of judgment for the Gentiles. And so, Lord, we're coming into that Nisan. We don't know if this could be it, this year or next. We don't know, Father, but we know that things are closing down. We know the Jews are coming back to their homeland. We know the invitation is out. We know the world is totally against Israel. And we know, Father, that we see this Friday there'll be judgment because your prophet told us that when there's a solar eclipse that shows that judgment is about to take place. And we know the very next day is a new beginning with Israel. It's the first day of Nisan. And we know that during this time of Nisan, your son was born. We know William Branham's birthday is on the 6th. And we know that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were all born in that same month. We don't believe in coincidences, Father. We believe that there's something special about what's coming up. We don't see it with our eyes. We can't feel it with our senses. But, Father, we know that as we read in the beginning that these things were put in the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars were all for signs and seasons. And so, Father, we believe that we are in the season of the resurrection. We pray that you would help us to stay focused upon the resurrection. And Father, as there was in the Alpha, there was many, many witnesses were witness to the resurrection. And they saw the saints that had come up. And so, Lord, we don't know how they transited out. The people only saw Jesus go up in a cloud, but they didn't see the saints go up. But we know they didn't hang around to die again. So, Lord, we know that he led captivity captive. They were taken into another dimension somehow. And, Father, we believe that somehow, somewhere, there'll be a dimensional opening. And we don't understand it all, Father, but we do know that the resurrection is about to happen. And, Lord, we just pray that you'd keep us focused. And may it be totally, we understand, by your grace. And Father, we know there's nothing we can do to bring it on. There's nothing we can do to make it happen. But, Father, we can just help us just to be there when it does take place. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. Amen. There's a lot to this stuff that's coming up. And been reading in the book of Exodus and seeing not only do we have this month of Nisan and a deliverance and God was judging the Gentiles. He was setting free the captivity captive. You know, he's setting the captives free from the Jews and from Egypt. But then we also have a holy convocation in the first and the seventh also mentioned in the book of Exodus when it speaks of the Feast of Tabernacles, which is in September. So we have some things happening we don't fully understand. I just somehow, you know, I wish their prophet would have spoken a little bit more on it to us. But we've got what we do have, and we just keep our focus on Christ, and I believe we'll be there. You know, when Jesus raised from the dead, I don't think that all the apostles were expecting to see Abraham and Sarah and some of the saints that were risen also, but they did. Paul, in the book of, in Matthew, it tells us that they were seen of many, so and many of them rose. All right. Well, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and may the Lord make his face shine upon thee. The Lord bless thee and